Welcome to our weekly Church on the Rock podcast. For more information, visit us at churchak.org, download our Church on the Rock AK app, or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy our weekly podcast.
We're getting kind of demonic on us. And I'm going, okay, where's this going to go? You know, we're all like, whoa. Kelly gets up and he preaches and he has to go through two interpreters. And I think probably almost at least 90% of them at the end raised their hand for salvation. It was a powerful experience. We were all just undone after that. But anyway, many stories, but Kelly's coming to preach. Let's give him a warm welcome. Come on.
Yeah, I just want to say for the record that Pastor Chris did not pick anything when we went through the marijuana plantation. It wasn't a you pick field. It was, that's how a lot of the people in those tribal areas make a living, with opium and such. But we're out there on a mission. We blazed right through it. We've walked through many a field full of drugs. In fact, time we were in a very remote village. I haven't told this story in years. You brought it up. So we were there, and this was a village that was actually guarded by, used to be a terrorist group called the Tamil Tigers, and they were out of Sri Lanka, but they would work in India in the drug industry. And they had control of this particular village, but we were going there to preach the gospel. There had been a few recent converts, and they wanted to hear more. And when we were there, we were praying and ministering. And then our host, Bishop Singh, that we've been working with for almost 30 years, he said, oh, this is one of our new brothers, and will you pray for his business? I'm thinking, what kind of business do you have out here? But I said, sure. He said, he wants us to go to his house. And his house was a hut, a little bit bigger than some of the other huts. But we go to this hut, and there's a wooden door, giant key. It was like a 1920s padlock, and opens it up so that we can step in and pray for his business. Well, we stepped in, and his business was stacked to the ceiling, ready to be imported to Europe or somewhere. And I was like, Jesus, if I ever needed your help, I need it now. I'm supposed to pray for this man's business. So I forget how that prayer went. The smell itself in the room transported me to a place I didn't want to go, but it was very interesting. A lot of interesting things happen on the mission field. You know, Jesus wins. I better insert that. And these people, I was coming from New York, and I was slightly mortified, and I had to ask. I asked Dr. Singh, well, like, at what point do you tell these new converts that this is not exactly a business sanctioned by heaven? And, heroin trade, I think God has some opinions about that. So I said, at what point? And he says, oh, we don't tell them. He said, the Holy Spirit speaks to them when they're ready. Oh, shut me up real fast. So, a lot of things we preach at people because we're ready or it bothers us. But, you know, God is gracious and gentle, and he invites people, and that's really part of what the message this morning is about. It's not just what's the law say, but sometimes it's, all the time, it's what's the Spirit say. And so you might be ready to club somebody over the head with your convictions, but Jesus says, just be patient, I'm working. I have no idea why I shared that. That wasn't in the first service, but that's for somebody here who's really mad that there's a particular business on your street or next door to your house. So just stop being angry and mad and just start praying and showing some love in Jesus' name. Whew, okay, I better move right along. Hey, God, wherever tough stuff is happening, I tell you, in that place, because then we went to do a baptism in, and that wasn't the river he mentioned, this is just a little stream. We went down to do a baptism of a couple new converts, and this is way back in the mountains of tribal India. And, the Tamil Tigers, they're all there with automatic weapons. We are only there because they allowed us. So we're baptizing these new converts, and one of the Tamil Tigers took the weapon off from over his shoulder, laid it on the ground, walked down the embankment into the water, and Dr. Singh started talking to him, and then I said, what's going on? He turned, he said, he wants to be baptized. Well, in India, they do not baptize you unless you answer three questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? And will you be faithful to him even unto death? That's the only way they baptize, because conversion in India costs many people their life. And here was a guy in front of his colleagues, his fellow gorillas, tigers, Tamil tigers, taking his weapon down and stepping into the waters of baptism. We baptized him right on the spot in Jesus' name. And awesome, awesome experience of light winning. And so God is moving. That was at least 25 years ago, but God is still doing great things today. I got a report from India yesterday. I mean, some of you, if you listen to the news, you know India has been in the headlines for 7-8 days because it's like COVID disaster there, and it really is a bad situation there. And so the news loves to tell us the horrible things that the devil's doing, but the news will not tell you what God is doing. But I got a information yesterday that the authorities are so desperate. Christian pastors, and Christianity is very persecuted in India, but in the middle of this COVID epidemic, there are Hindu authorities coming to Christian pastors, pleading with them, will you come to the hospitals and pray for people? Will you come into the parking lots and pray for people? Because no one else from any other religion will pray for these people. But we know that you, Christians, are not afraid of COVID, and you will pray for the sick. And the pastors are going out in droves and ministering to people in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the gospel is advancing all over the world. The testimony I heard yesterday was the pastor says, yes, of course, we'll go. I mean, even if we get sick and die, at least we know where we're going. We're going to heaven, but this is what we were born for. We've got to let people know Jesus is greater. We've got to let people know that the true church of Jesus Christ is not afraid. We don't deny the reality of a problem, but we're not afraid because of the problem. We're a people that run into the darkness because we have the light. We don't shrink back from the darkness and wait until it blows over and goes away. We're a people that have such a burning light inside of us, such an explosive intensity of God inside of us, that it pushes us into darkness with the knowledge that darkness cannot stand in the face of it. That's really what this morning's message is all about. Thank you. I don't want to forget to say thank you for those that pray for my wife and I. Thank you for those that have been such an encouragement to us in our mission work. My wife, Lenora, is sitting right there. Some of you ladies were with her last weekend. That was the first weekend in 20 years of ministry in Alaska where we were not together. And it was a little hard for me to deal with. I was preaching over in Wasilla, and I felt like I was missing a leg or an arm or something. But Lenora was doing what God had assigned her to do, and I heard great reports from many of the ladies and from Lenora. Thank you all for being such a encouragement and so kind to her. And I survived without her over in Wasilla, but I feel a double dose this morning because I have my better half with me along with the Spirit. So I'm very excited, and we are blessed to be with you. And we are excited about what this season of ministry in our life. This is our 41st year of ministry together, and we are very excited. I got to tell you that we have wonderful partners all over the world that we work with face-to-face. COVID year, we had to work with them in a different way, but a lot of places we're eager to get back to. As soon as we can, we'll be in Mozambique. I tell you about a great, you heard of Mozambique in the news, horrible Islamic insurgency in northern Mozambique. A lot of terrible things happening. But in the middle of that, our partner, John Sitto, the most smiling guy you've ever met in your life, he's planted 3 churches in the last 6 months in the middle of a country that's being shaken by a radical insurgency. I mean, God is moving. We have a lot of friends, many, many friends in South Africa that work across that nation. South Africa hit very hard by the virus, you know, been locked down for almost a year. But they are planting churches right and left. People are getting saved right and left. left. Wonderful testimony. We have wonderful partners in Israel. Israel's had a national lockdown 3 times in the last year, and yet this one ministry that we're connected with, in the last year, they've led hundreds of Israeli Jews to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I mean, we are in harvest time, my friends. We are in revival time. God is moving explosively all over the world. I got a message just the other day from one of our partners in Bulgaria. He works with, he's a Turkish-speaking Islamic people that have come across the border from Turkey into Bulgaria, and they are coming to Christ by the multitudes. People are seeking an answer in this hour, and the answer is in you, in me. His name is Jesus. It is a good time to be alive, and it is a good time to keep going, and it is not a good time to quit. It is our greatest hour, and it is not a good time to quit. And I believe that's the word of the Lord to you and I today, that God wants to help us so that we keep going. God wants to help you and I not to throw in the towel and get discouraged and quit. I want to talk to you about the Apostle Paul, who had more reasons to quit than all of us put together in this room. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room has yet been stoned to death and then had to be raised up by the power of God. But, I mean, I'm not making light of any problems you've had. Some of you have had severe problems and severe losses. But Paul went through severe problems all the time. They beat him up. They every time he got on a boat, it sank. I mean, people threw rocks at him when he went to cities. He got whipped. I mean, anybody here been whipped by a cat of nine tails 39 times? This happened to Paul 3 times. It happened to Jesus once. It happened to Paul 3 times. 3 times, and God miraculously raised him up. A guy had a reason to get discouraged. It might have been the Apostle Paul, but he writes these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have this ministry, we don't lose heart." I know a lot of people over the last year, because we traveled. In fact, since we couldn't go overseas, last year we were in 48 of the 50 states on an assignment from the Lord, and it was fantastic, and God moved so powerfully in some of the meetings, like a few times, like I thought, I've never experienced this in the United States, and yet in the middle of that, we know a lot of people that they're ready to quit the ministry. I have one friend in a particular city that I think it's 18 churches in his region, in his immediate region or his town, and he told me the other day, he says, it looks like at least 9 of the 18 or 10 of the 18, the pastors have already said, they're leaving, they're not coming back, they're not reopening. I mean, there are people that are actually quitting. There's some people thrown in the towel by the droves. And so we have to ask ourselves, what exactly was Paul talking about? Because Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. We're not quitters. We don't get discouraged. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what kind of ministry he's talking about? Because there's a whole lot of people out there today that think they are doing ministry, but they have either quit, or they're ready to quit, or they're at the breaking point. And I believe we're in the middle of a shaking in the church of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is demanding, inviting, encouraging us to step into what ministry actually was supposed to be all about all along. Because the ministry he calls us to, which is whatever it is that you and I do to serve people, whatever it is, whether it's in your home or the church or at your workplace, but the ministry that he has invited you and I into, and that we partner with him in, is a ministry that is enlivening. It is energizing. It is vibrant. It is not a place that you even want to think about quitting. It is a ministry that refuels you and refires you. We've got to understand what Paul was talking about when he said, therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, we don't quit. What ministry? In a time when many are quitting, in a time when many are fearful, in a time when many are broken, we've got to ask ourselves, what exactly is it that distinguished the ministry of Paul that made him such a such an unstoppable force, such that he got to the end of his life? We read in another epistle where he says, I have finished my race. I did it. I got to the end. I didn't quit. I didn't get bitter. I didn't burn out. I didn't get mad at God. I didn't dump my wife and children because, you know, I got tired of them. I mean, I just stuck with it because of something I found out about God. And I believe God wants every one of us in this room to find out the same thing, to feel the same thing, to experience the same thing. What was it that Paul had? What was it about his ministry that he just couldn't quit, that he wouldn't give up? We read it in verse 6. He calls it a new covenant. He says, God made us sufficient or capable. In the verse before that, he says, now, if it's just up to me, I can't do it. And he makes that very clear. If it's up to me, I can't do it. If we have to rely on our own power or sufficiency, we can't do it. He says in verse 5, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. He says, but our sufficiency is from God. The ability to do this is from God. Someone asked me in between services, well, you got a second service and, you know, God will help you. I says, yeah, that's the only reason I dare get up for a second service, because after the first service, the first thing the devil says is, you ain't going to be able to do that again. And I always answer, no, I'm not going to do that again. God's going to do something better, because he takes us from glory to glory. There's a sufficiency from God for you in this room right now. There is a power from God right now in this room for you. It's not for me so that I can preach a certain way. It is primarily for you so that you can get a hold of a certain truth and walk out of here more committed and dedicated and enthusiastic than you walked in. That is what ought to happen every time we gather, is we get a hold of the sufficiency of God. Paul calls it the new covenant, but he calls it something else. He says, God has made us sufficient as ministers. Here's the kind of ministers we are, of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul's making a reference to the Old Testament covenant or law revealed by Moses, by God through Moses, versus the New Testament type of relationship with God won for us by Jesus. And he says, the letter that kills. So in case somebody doesn't understand what that means, he's referring to something that was good and created by God, the law, that God wrote on stone tablets and gave to Moses. And then Moses came down from the mountain and shared it with the Israelite people. This was long before Jesus came. And he refers to that. And it was given by God, and it revealed the moral character of God and the moral requirements of God. But the reason it's called the letter that kills is because the people kept breaking it and violating it. And every time they did, the priest had to sacrifice an animal and to atone for their sin. But they kept sinning and then sacrificing and sinning and sacrificing. So the law actually was like a constant reminder of the judgment of God. You ever been disappointed in yourself? Really discouraged with your lack of spiritual progress? Your inability maybe to understand something in the Bible? The flashes of fear that come over you, and you don't want anybody to know about that, because, you know, in the church we're all supposed to be like super unafraid. But the reality is sometimes you lay in bed at night and flashes of fear about your bills or about sickness or about your marriage. It just comes upon you, and I'll tell you, it's not a pretty way to live, but it's how a lot of people live. And the letter is there saying, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not powerful enough. You can't beat this devil. You can't beat this addiction. You can't beat this fear. You know, you're always going to be a less than Christian. See, that's what, if your life is just the letter, that's what it does to your mind. If it's just do this and don't do that, it plays games with your mind. You constantly are looking over your shoulder or wondering when the judgment of God's going to come. But Paul says, that's not our ministry. That was how it used to be. But Jesus came and he says, now we have something called the Spirit who gives life. Now instead of constantly feeling like I'm barely dodging death, now I've got the Spirit of God who, when I embraced Jesus Christ, took up residence in my heart. And now the resurrection power that he brings with him that caused me to go from death to life, from an old man to a new man, from a lost creature to a found son of God, that life is in us perpetually, and we are now living out of the overflow of that life. He said, this is the ministry we have, is to tell people that you are not limited by that letter. You are now unlimited because of the life of God. It's amazing. Most of us, we live our whole life and we never fully come into connection with the reality of the one who lives within us. I mean, I was born again myself 53 years ago, but I think about this all the time. I think, Pastor Chris, man, I barely have a handle on what it means to have God himself resident in my life. I mean, this is mind-boggling. This is almighty. When I stop, if I just give 1 minute a day to think of that fact, that almighty God in the person of the Spirit resides in me, this is an extraordinary reality. Paul writes in another place that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, he lives in you. I mean, the power that hovered over his dead body and reanimated and raised Jesus up with a new body. The power that did that lives in us. That's a better covenant. I know I make a lot of kids cry. I'm sorry. Are you alive this morning? Do you feel the life of God in you today? The longing of Jesus is for every person in this room to experience the reality of that life that keeps you going, that makes it impossible for you to quit, that keeps you gathering together with God's people week after week, even though some have disappointed you, that keeps you reading his word, even though nothing in the moment seems relevant to what you're going through. There's someone inside of you, if you've embraced Jesus Christ, who says, hey, I'm not on vacation. Hey, I'm not over in one corner of your soul. Hey, I'm not hiding behind your biggest sin. I'm bigger than anything else in your life. I'm bigger than your biggest sin. I'm stronger than your weakest emotion. I am within you for all that I am. That's who God is. He doesn't partially life, but now the fullness of God needs to get out of our life. The explosive resurrection power of God needs to come out of our life. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God so that we don't quit. And though many may be quitting all around me, we're not going to quit. In fact, we're enjoying the journey. We don't just say it for the stage because it sounds good. We say it to each other all the time. Isn't this amazing? Did we ever dream when we were teenagers that 41 years later we would be enjoying the ministry more than we ever have at any time? I mean, it's an incredible thing. It revolutionizes your marriage. It revolutionizes your relationship with your kids. It revolutionizes everything in your life. And it gets better and better. Why? Because there's some things that the Spirit of God wants to do inside of you and will do if we'll just step back and say, Holy Spirit, have all of me, have your way. Have all of me, have your way. I was driving down Bogart yesterday with Lenora. We went to a craft fair that was in the Palmer gym. And you know, sometimes the devil always wants us to go by the letter. Oh, you're preaching tomorrow. You need to be on your face, desperately crying out to God, praying you won't make a fool of yourself. You know, this is the way of the letter. The way of the Spirit is, I'm with you. Might as well go chill at a craft fair. Just be happy. Let your wife buy, you know, just celebrate while she buys everything from every booth. I changed that because I don't let her do anything. That's the wrong use of words. But just go and have a good time. Now she's probably saying, you better confess. I actually bought more than she did. I spent more money than she did at the craft fair. But you know, the point is, it's just like this. The ways of religion are, oh, this is the way we do church, and this is the way we get ready. I remember in our first church, I mean, it was like a nightmare back in the 80s, and I would spend 30 hours a week sometimes, sometimes more, getting ready for one sermon. Can you imagine the stress that was in our house? Because I was living under the weight of the letter, and I hadn't yet been released to understand that, oh, that's not what ministry is, preaching a perfect sermon. That's not what ministry is, enunciating everything with perfect clarity. That's not what ministry is, impressing everybody with the historical research I've done. No, ministry is the power of God living inside of you and spilling out of you. That is a ministry that advances the church of Jesus Christ. And anything else cannot last and will not last, because God says in His Word, I will shake everything that can be shaken until nothing remains except that which cannot be shaken. And let me tell you what cannot be shaken: a follower of Jesus Christ who has the ministry of the Spirit flowing in their life. You know what happens to you? This is what God spoke to me as I was driving away from the craft fair, driving down Bogart. I had these three words come to my mind. The ministry that Paul's writing about here, 2 Corinthians 4, it makes you shine, it makes you feel fine, and you're no longer blind. God does that for me all the time, because there's a cap on my intellectual capacity. So I need rhymes to remember. But there's no cap on His capacity. See, every one of you has a cap on what you can do humanly, but there's no cap on God. There's no lid on God's capacity. This is a phenomenal thing, is that the one who has no cap upon Him lives inside of you. That means if we can separate ourselves from our own capacity and submit ourselves, or just yield ourselves to His unlimited capacity, oh, how amazing and glorious and wonderful life becomes. We get to shine. We get to shine in a way they couldn't shine in Moses' day. Paul tells us about it. He even calls that old way glorious, but listen to what he says. He says, if the ministry of death, the ministry of the law that constantly reminded you of impending death, he said, if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones, if that was glorious, what do you mean, Paul, by glorious? Glorious such that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses. See, when he came down from the mountain, he glowed with the presence of God and the glory of God. And the people were like, they had to look away. They couldn't. And another place in Hebrews talks about the mountain and the smoke and the fire and the lightning, and how the people were afraid. They couldn't draw near. They're afraid they'd be consumed. And so it's over His face. It's like they couldn't come to church unless the preacher wore a veil. You know what that meant back then? That meant, Moses, we all know you know God, but none of us know God. Unfortunately, that pattern has been reverted back to time and again throughout history, where we really want a leader who's connected to God, but we'd never suggest that we're going to know God the way our leader knows God. No, Paul says that is not today's glory. That was the old ways glory. He says this: if that was the glory of the old way, which was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? What ministry of the Spirit? The ministry of the Spirit that's in you. The ministry of the Spirit that He was carried by and that He brought to people so that they could share in it. How will it not be more glorious? You know what I think of when I think of more glorious than that former glory? I think, well, in those old days, they couldn't look at Moses and they had to shrink back into the shadows. But what is it about the ministry of the Spirit in this day? We don't shrink back. We actually draw near and we dispel the shadows. The light of the ministry of the Spirit of God in you is a ministry that pushes away the shadows, pushes away darkness. See, in Moses' day, that system, they could only experience God by external observation. They had to look at something outside themselves and see what God was doing in another person's life. They were always on the outside in the shadows. But this new system that Jesus brought, everything changes. Now, God has experienced internally, by revelation, by His presence. I'm no longer externally observing, I'm now internally experiencing. And when you internally experience the light that is in you, that has to come out of you, it will dispel the darkness around you. You will not lock your door at night or leave the light on by your bed because of fear for the shadows that may come, but you will turn off that light next to your bed and say, if that happens to have been a problem for you, as I believe it probably is for someone here this morning, and you will say, darkness, I do not fear you. I am in charge. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ dwells in me. I will lie down and sleep in peace. I will not be afraid of what's going on in this nation. I will not be afraid of what's stalking the earth. The light of God in me is greater than the darkness around me. You'll shine. I'm not talking about the traditional shine. Oh, brother, you're kind of smiley and friendly. You must be a Christian. I know some Buddhists that smile more than a lot of Christians I know. I personally know some Islamic people. They're nicer than some Christians I know. I'm not talking about the shine of just being a good guy. Sweet girl, you know, kind to your neighbor shine. I mean, that stuff's good, but the world can imitate that. But nothing except Jesus can push darkness back. I'm talking about a penetrating, burning light inside of you. The Spirit of God that does what no other religion on earth can do, that only Jesus can do. The Holy Spirit witnessing to you saying, do you understand who I am inside of you? Do you understand that everything Jesus is, I can communicate through you? Do you understand that you are in charge when you enter into a dark place? Because the Jesus in you is unstoppable. He never loses. He's never defeated. He always wins. This is why Paul, the guy who was stoned, the guy who was beaten, the guy who was sometimes all alone, made this bold statement. He says, he always causes us to triumph in every place. You know what Paul was saying? We don't ever lose. We don't just never quit. We don't never lose. We're unstoppable because the one in us, hey, Kelly, on his own, he would have worn out a long time ago. Chris, all of us, no, anybody in this room, we'd all have worn out a long time ago. But when you tap into the unstoppable guy inside of you, the great and almighty God, you shine. And then you don't sit on a pity pot because you get a revelation that you don't just have burning light that shines. You're also doing mighty fine. Because Paul says this ministry of the Spirit's a ministry of righteousness. You know what Paul says in another place? He says the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, that we are sons of God. The Spirit of God is constantly reminding us you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The letter constantly reminds us of where we failed. The letter constantly reminds us of how we've fallen short. And we go to bed at night and we believe the lie that I'll never be what my other friends in church are. I'll never have the breakthrough. I'll never be able to lead anybody into Christ. That's because we're still allowing the letter to govern our thinking, but we need to get liberated into the freedom of righteousness, the way of the Spirit, which testifies that you carry now on your life the righteousness of God. The very righteousness of God. Paul says it in chapter 5, one page over. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Wow, do we understand the ministry that we're all a part of? We've been washed. It's good now and then for you to look in the mirror and say, I'm doing mighty fine. Because a lot of times you don't feel like you are. I get it. A lot of times I don't feel like I am, but I believe this and not this. I don't believe my brain or my emotions, which can go up and down, or my brain that wants to theologically reduce everything to a formula that I can figure out and that I can then master, and then I can then decide based on the formula whether or not I'm good enough or whether or not I measure up. I don't want to live that way. I just want to get my brain, and I want to get my emotions and my human passions, just not that I become brainless, but I don't want to be ruled by the area of my soul. I want to be ruled by the area of my spirit. I want my body and my soul and my mind and my emotions to come into subjection to what the Spirit of God inside, the Spirit of God that bears witness to my spirit, so that what my spirit says is the way I act. What my spirit says in response to his spirit is the way I live. What my spirit does in response to the reality of his spirit in ministry is the kind of effort I make. Then it's a joy. Then you don't crawl up feeling like a worm. You know that you're a child of God. I'll be 60 next year. I don't get tired of singing, I'm a child of God. In fact, the older I get, the more I want to become a child. Just to simply believe what God says. Yes, Abba, Father. You said it, that's enough. I'm not going to be governed by what people do or say, or even by my own weaknesses. I'm governed by what you said. And Holy Spirit, you say that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, that I'm acceptable, that I'm doing mighty fine. Always something wonderful happens when you tap into that. Your eyes get opened. Final thought. As I just leave you with this final thought, your eyes get opened. You understand and see things you might not have been able to see before. I am praying. I'm gonna declare it. I'm gonna prophesy it right now. There's some sets of eyes that are popping open this morning, this afternoon. The presence of God is here. Some of us need our eyes supernaturally opened, our spiritual eyes. Some of us have been blind to a degree our whole Christian life. But when you immerse yourself in the way of the Spirit, you are no longer blind. In fact, you are looking God full on in all his glory. This is incredible, because back in the old day, they could not look. They couldn't even get close, Pastor Chris. They didn't dare. They couldn't look. They looked away. But what does Paul say to us? And what does he leave us with? He says in verse 13, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted. When they read the Old Testament, he's talking about the Jewish people who had not moved into the revelation of the new covenant. He says, when they read the law of Moses, when they read about the old system, there's still a veil in front of their eyes. But he says, this is not what it is today, because in our day, that veil is taken away in Christ. When one turns to the Lord, verse 16, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the context of this letter, he's talking about the liberty to freely see things for what they are, to see yourself as God sees you in Christ, to see Him unobstructed by our own failures and weaknesses, to dare to look at the glory of God. Glory of God manifest in this room right now. Some of us have shrunk back. We've averted our eyes because of our embarrassment. But Jesus invites you, open your eyes and look at the glory of God. Because here's the miracle. If you will allow yourself to do that, if you'll allow His worth to qualify you to do that, you will actually see. You will see what is going on inside of your own life. Jesus said in John 17, I thank you, Father, because the glory that you have given to me, I've given to them, my disciples, so I pray for them. The Lord's burden for His church. To know that all the way back then He gave it for us. It's not the credit or the honor He's talking about. It's the radiance of God. He said, I pray for them because what you gave me, I've given it to them. I've shared it with them. Father, help them to know what they have. Nobody can stop such a church. Nobody can shut you down when you know what you have. And so His words hold so much meaning. When He says in this new system, verse 18, all of us with unveiled faces. We are beholding as if in a mirror the glory of the Lord. No barrier. We're beholding the glory of God, but it's like looking in a mirror, because that's exactly what has been deposited in us. Into which image we are being transformed as He is. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That is the ministry of the Spirit. Stand with me. We're going to worship. Pastor Chris, you come.
I didn't know what Kelly was going to be speaking on throughout this week, but it's funny, throughout this week in my spirit, I've been praying, Lord, we want to see Your glory. We want to see Your glory in our celebration services. There's something more that God wants to do. There's so much more for us. And I believe there's a hunger in You. I believe there's a hunger in the people that are coming here. My prayer has even been, Lord, we just want to be ruined for the ordinary, because that doesn't work. I had a dream last night, and this is very unusual for me. I don't never talk about this kind of stuff normally, but I never have dreams. It's very rare occasion. But last night, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me concerning this service. Just sharing part of the dream, I was outside after being part of a church service, and I was outside, and there was a cloud that appeared in the horizon. It was a big, massive cloud, and it wasn't ominous, it wasn't scary. But all of a sudden, there was this loud thunder, just, wow, and the lightning just, and this whole cloud just, the backside of the whole cloud just glowing brilliantly. And from this cloud, he's shooting like stars, and things begin to blast out of him and spark and fly. And when I saw that, I ran to the cloud. I was so filled with joy and expectation, and I was crying out. I said, yes, Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Oh, Jesus, this is wonderful. And then people began to gather around me as we gathered around this table. We actually began to receive communion together, and the Father began to speak. And it was a powerful experience, so vivid. And I just don't this doesn't happen to me. But I feel like you confirmed it this morning. There's something about running to the glory. Running to the presence of God, running. And there's some here, I believe, man, you have stood on the outside and you've looked in. You kept it at an arm's distance. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you had some weird teaching. I don't know. But I believe the Lord is saying this morning, he's asking you, will you run to me? Will you run to my presence? And will you be filled? Will you be filled with his life and his love and his glory? Will you run to the glory? You know, I'm a guy who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit for many years now. I speak in tongues. I pray. I have a prayer language. Matter of fact, if you hung around me all the time, you wouldn't know what I said half the time because I pray in my prayer language all the time. And so now, am I saying, do you have to speak in tongues to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, I didn't say that. But I'll tell you one thing, I'll tell you. You have the privilege of having your prayer language, if that's what you want, as well as all the other gifts of the Holy Spirit that are released to your life. See, when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and births a new you. Not a better version of the old you, but a brand new creation. You are rebirthed. The Bible calls it born again. And then John the Baptist says, but there's one coming after me. His name's Jesus. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus told the church, he said, go and gather. Wait, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The baptism's coming. Why? Because Jesus is the baptizer as you. And there's a release of gifts. And there was a release. He said, well, I'd like to pray and have my prayer language too. Good. Well, then ask the Lord for that too. You have the privilege of that as well. And as everything else he has to offer. But what I'm saying is this. You know Jesus. You're not afraid of Jesus. You love Jesus. And Jesus is the baptizer. And he says, if you come to me and ask, I'll fill you. And you let Jesus do whatever he wants to do. He fills you. And begin to walk that out and live that out. Be refilled daily. Lord, I want more of your Holy Spirit and fire in my life. And Lord, I would like a prayer language that the Word talks about. I would like that too. And Lord, I would like some of these other gifts, whatever you want to stir up in me and release. I want to grow in those. Lord, your Word says the desire of the best gift, whatever that is for me. Lord, I don't know. This is all new. But Jesus, I trust you. Amen? God has so much more.
Something you want. I believe that you and I are just supposed to agree together right now for the glory of God to manifest on this congregation. So right now, I just ask everybody to extend your faith, and we're about to have the prayer ministry team come. But before that happens right now, there's something very supernatural that God wants to do in many of your hearts and lives. And, you know, whether you just want to lift your hand, close your eyes, open your eyes, but right now where you stand, if you know that the kind of things that we've been speaking about this morning, that kind of life of ministry and life in the Spirit, if that's been elusive to you, I believe God wants you to have a breakthrough this morning. And so I thank you right now. God, I'm praying in agreement with my brother, Pastor Chris, and in Jesus' name right now, we call for the glory of God, Lord, to be manifested in this place. Lord, I decree your glory to be seen. seen and your glory to be pursued right now. In Jesus' name I pray, let every hungry and thirsty soul in this room reach out and grab a hold of you. I thank you, Lord, that as we stand with you inside of us, we are an unstoppable force for the glory of God. We pray, Lord, let your glory come. Let your glory be seen. Let your glory be revealed within your people. I thank you, Lord, for an outbreak in this valley. We declare good news over this valley that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters are over the sea. We thank you for saturating this valley with the glory of God. We thank you for saturating this people with the glory of God. Now, Lord, as we worship and as we pray and as we seek you, pour out your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more of our podcasts and to discover how you can connect, visit us at churchak.org or download our Church on the Rock AK app from either iTunes or Google Play.